Well, if you'd like to follow along again, we want to thank the church again for the invitation to come and speak for you, and thank you for your prayers. And of course, every church has their own prayer list. We have ours, and we got lots and lots of people on them, lots of cancer patients, heart patients, and lots of people in the convalescent centers and rest homes, and at home, homebound, not being able to move about, do things that they used to do, and just need to be thankful to the Lord that He knows about each and every one. We had a scripture in mind this morning. I probably should clarify something before I go on in when I talking about How Love Baptist a while ago and how that we have the true word. God has given us the true word. That's what He uses to make true Baptists. They'll not compromise. They'll not give in to falsehoods and lies concerning the Scriptures and everything. And I don't believe that mankind could ever, as they've tried to do in the past and just made a mess out of everything, try to reinterpret the Word of God in a way that people might understand. But what they don't know is the Spirit of God is what causes people to understand God's Word the way it's written in this Bible here. That's what I believe. So we're thankful for that. We sang that song a few moments ago, A Sweet Hour of Prayer, and Does Jesus Care? Well, in the book of Hebrews, if you'd like to follow along once again, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, and verse 13, and we want to read those four verses. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have passed, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. For we have not those scriptures, I use those scriptures a lot at the funeral as well. When people lose loved ones, and everybody's gathered to the funeral home or the home or the graveside or wherever they choose to have the services. A lot of people, you see, what their hope is at that time. You see and say, well, you don't want to go talking about people that lost loved ones. We're not, folks. God is telling us, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, He's telling us that we have a Savior that knows all of our infirmities. He knows every heartache, every tear that we shed. He knows whether they're tears of joy, tears of grief, like I've seen both today here in this church house. I've seen them both. But the hope endured, the hope in Christ endured in that. But Christ, folks, is our high priest. And He intervenes for us in all take the devil for granted a lot of times. You know, he still has access to the grace of God or to the throne of God. He's still able to go and accuse God's people. And he's going to rat us out, if you please. He's going to rat on us. He's going to tell on us. He'll say to God, people say, well, now he's not that brazen. Let me tell you something, folks. God said he's a fiery serpent. God says He's the great deceiver. God says He's the great liar. And that's what He is. And He didn't think twice about tempting the very Son of God. Tempting the very Son of God. So why do you think He would think twice about tempting somebody as feeble as myself? Or yourself? Why do we think He won't bother us? Why do you think He won't, He'll leave us alone? Why do we think that? He goes right to the throne. He says, Do you see that cowboy down there? The one that says that your son died for him. You see how he's acting. Do you know what his thoughts are? Do you see his life? One thing about it, folks, he didn't have to ask God those questions because God is able to see my life. He's able to know my thoughts and able to know my heart. He's able to know those things. And Jesus says, Father, where's Jesus? He's on the right hand of God, right now. Jesus will intervene and say, Father, I died for that one. Father, I died for this one. Father, you talk about a lawyer, huh? You talk about somebody to represent us. What Christ the righteous does. And folks, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows exactly what we go through every day on this earth as a child of God, every temptation that we shun or every temptation that we give in to. Either one. He knows all of those things. We can't fool Christ. We can't fool God. So, knowing that, and if I don't ever ask for a raise of hands, I never do when I ask a question at church, raise your hand, you know, if this is so, I don't never do that. But I'm pretty sure every one of us in here today, including myself, mostly myself, don't we need God's help? I mean today, didn't we need it yesterday? Why do we think it will be any different tomorrow? We have a place to go in time of need. The writer in the book of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. And folks, mercy and grace is what we want from God. I don't want justice from God. Let me tell you, I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy and grace and love and peace. And that's what God is ready to show me every day. But you know, I've got to live close to Him. I've got to live close to Him. You know, the Word of God tells us that we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. That means God's not asking too much. That means He's not. We're not going to have to give our whole lives up to serve the Lord, even though we probably should give more of it up to serve the Lord. But that's a completely different message. But the Lord knows. And I think we know that we have somewhere to go to help in time of need. You know, we can't take care of all of our problems. I can't save anybody. I can't change a mind. I can't change a heart. I'm helpless. You know that? Except by the grace of God. Except by the Word of God. God has empowered His people, folks. He has given us a power. He has given us strength, and He promises to always do that. And He has opened our hearts to so many things in the Scriptures that it has to offer for you and I in a time of need. The psalmist said, oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, all I can do is point you to the rock that is higher than I. You think about that. There's one greater than me. There's one greater than us that we can come to every day. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Well, what could that actually mean? Come boldly. You got to watch out, preacher. We got to keep our pride in check. You know, yes, we do, folks. I believe to go boldly before the throne of God, we've got to humble ourselves first. And I've heard in a couple of prayers this morning already. Lord, forgive my sins. Brother Roy Humble, he used to be a pastor in Michigan. Every time he would come down and preach, his last name was Humble, he would say, Lord, forgive my pride. That would be the very first thing he would say in a prayer. Forgive my pride. And then he would go on into his prayer, folks, just like he really was forgiven of his pride. How great it is, folks, that we can go to God and we can find help in time of need. Don't matter what it is. Don't make any difference. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, if you'd like to follow along once again, Hebrews 10 and verse 19, says, having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How can we, such as we are, boldly go before the throne of grace? The holiest place by the blood of Jesus. Folks, as His people, every one of us saved by His grace today, we have access to the very throne of God. Now, we can't see Him. We can't go there in this little body of ours. But we're going to. And like I heard, I don't usually eavesdrop, you know, but I heard where a little boy commented one time, said, I heard that they had some pretty nice houses in heaven. I don't know what that, I didn't get all of it, but, you know, I thought about that, and somebody said, it just takes a little child, just a couple of words, to really brighten your day. Just a few words. Some really pretty places in heaven. Really pretty homes in heaven. I don't know, folks. But I do know this. The Lord is going to prepare. He went to prepare a mansion for me. And because He went, He's going to come and get me and take me to that mansion one of these days. What's it going to look like, preacher? I have no idea. I heard a pastor one time say, I wonder if Jesus ever put His initials on a piece of His work when He was helping His daddy, carpenter. If He ever put His name or initials on any piece of furniture or something that they made. And I thought about that. That just engulfed my mind for the longest time. I said, preacher, what are you thinking about that for? You wouldn't see it anyway. But that just engulfed my mind, and I thought about that for the longest time. To know that the Lord, He worked with His hands while He was here. The Lord worked with the words. The Lord worked with the people. And folks, to this day, I don't know of anyone He didn't call what He didn't call them by name. I really don't. I said, you mean you're known as Gary in heaven? I believe I am. I think I am. I don't know. I don't care what I'd be called up there. But I believe He knows me by name. I like that. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Secure in every way. The holiest by the blood of Jesus. Enter into that by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with a true heart. You know, folks, you ever find it hard to pray? I mean, has your heart been so troubled sometimes that it's hard to pray, that we just don't know what to ask for? Have you ever been, hopefully not, but have you ever been there? I just don't know what to pray for. I just don't know how to pray. Folks, our heart is to be true. I mean, we say we're a child of God. If we're truly saved by the grace of God, we are the children of faith. Now, you have access to God. We can go to the very throne of grace. We can humbly go there. I think if we go there in pride, in a proud manner, like that old publican or Pharisee, Lord, I thank You that I'm not like the rest of these people, you know. His prayer didn't get anywhere. His prayer didn't get anywhere. That's a different subject. But that old publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what keeps us the most humble? Folks knowing our place here. We're sinners saved by grace. And I could go on about that for hours, but I won't because I touched on it already in the other service. Sinners saved by grace. God has made us meet for the Master's use. Christ has. He's changed us. He's given us a new heart, a new soul, or a new body. He's going to give us a new body. All of this, when I get up in the morning, I creak and crack like you wouldn't believe. Sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies. And it takes me a few minutes to seem like to get everything in place. But I finally managed to weasel out of bed, you know, and get up. The Lord's all in control of that. He knows every creak and crack that went on. Everything it was. That's how well He knows me. That's how well He knows His people. Trust in Him with all of your heart. I mean, you're saved by the grace of God, folks. Your soul is in the hands of God. Nobody else can be secure like you and I that are saved by the grace of God. Unless they're saved by the grace of God as well. Go with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Pray for rain, not take an umbrella. Where's your faith? Pray for rain, and then don't like it when you see it. Pray in full assurance. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer here in a few minutes, not the model prayer, but in John chapter 17, we're going to talk about that for a few more minutes. As you know, my messages are not really long, and I pray to God that they won't be boring. But I want you to turn to the book of John in chapter 17. And in this prayer, Jesus prays for all of us believers. Everybody. Say, well, does God have favorites? I think He has favorites. I think He's got a favorite nation called Israel. I think that's still His nation. They've never accepted Christ Jesus. Folks, don't ask me to explain that to you. I know they haven't. Why wouldn't God abandon them and pick him another nation? I don't know, folks, because God won't change. He's not going to change His mind. He's going to be right in tune with every word that He spoke. So He's got a nation called Israel. And some way, somehow, as we read earlier, that we used to have no dealings. No connection with Israel at all. And now, we've been adopted, you know what, folks. I believe we're spiritual Israel today. I believe the Gentile nation is spiritual Israel. The church. I really do. Lord's got more great things that He's going to do with the nation of Israel before He's finished. I believe that from my heart. So, Christ prays for every one of us. And He said in verse 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. The words of Christ, folks. The Son of God. God in the flesh. That very one. He asked the Heavenly Father to glorify Him that He might glorify God. Now, I've thought about that scripture a whole lot. And, you know, we're talking about the one that hang there on that cross, chapter 19, 18 and 19, folks, got a real grisly story about what happened to Christ Jesus. Real grisly story. I mean, it's a sad picture. It's a terrible picture. If it was painted lifelike, probably not many people would be able to look upon it, save the ones that were those that stood at the foot of the cross and railed on Him. But you think about Christ, the very Son of God, asking the Father to give Him strength. He wanted to use His strength to glorify God. Sort of should be our prayer, shouldn't it? Lord, help us to glorify You here on this earth. Help us to give You the glory and honor in the church. It's what the church is supposed to do. To God be the glory in the church. Lord, help us. And Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, to come down to this earth, sin cursed earth. Have you thought about that? He left the place we long for. He left the place that we going to go there one of these days. It's lit up by the glory of God, folks. I don't know how that works. One of these days, there's not going to be a sun or a moon, but we're still going to have light. And I was just amazed in the book of Genesis during the creation that God made the light before He made the sun. And I said, how can that be? I said, preacher, you're dealing with God here. He's the God of impossibilities. He made the light before He made the sun. That just amazed me. There was a Sunday school teacher brought that up one day, and I looked at him. I said, now don't say nothing because you know better. And he said that, and I got to looking. Sure enough, He made the light before He made the sun. That just thrilled me. I said, there must be something to this book. I said, there must be something to what they've been teaching me all of these years. How can that be? But he left that place, the place where God or Christ knew and left the glory of God and came here. He said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That was sort of that little advantage that, you know, we have today. You know, people back then, folks, back in Isaiah's days, about 700 years before Christ was born, something like that, they were saying, this is what Jesus is going to do. And people stand back and say, nah, how can that be? Yeah, He was going to come. He was going to be bruised for our transgression and wounded for our iniquities. He was just going to be beaten, and he's going to have the beard plucked from their face and his face and everything else. All of that is prophesied. How can that be? But as God did His work down through history, He left witnesses. Like the Apostle Paul, when he presented the gospel to the church at Corinth, he said, and after Christ arose, see, Paul, he never did have the habit of preaching the death and the burial of Christ without preaching the resurrection. You don't want to leave that part out, folks. That's because He lives, I live. He's alive forevermore. So the death, burial, and the resurrection, all of them are important, but let's use it all. Don't leave anything out to guess. Because He lives, we live. He's alive forevermore. Now I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So where are you talking about the apostles right here? Talking about His disciples. Yes, He is. And He's singling them out, and He's praying for a group of people. Isn't that something? So, well, that's sort of showing a little bit of favoritism. I don't know, folks. But I'd be sort of offended if I loved fishing, and then somebody called to me and says, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for men. That's no fun. I wouldn't like that. I'll make you fishers of men, He says. And Christ was praying for these men that He called them out of their profession. And He said, I told them everything You told me to tell them. And He said, they know that You have sent me to them. They know that. He said, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, and I... Be holy. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, for they may be one as we are one. And while Christ was here, folks, He kept them. He kept them. He ministered to them. They ministered unto Him as well. But He ministered to them. He said, I was with them in the world. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I've kept, and none of them is lost. but the son of perdition. Oh, Judas. She sneaked up on him, didn't he? No, folks. She sure didn't. Judas didn't sneak up on anybody. He said, one of you is a devil. He didn't say, one of you is going to turn out to be the devil in time. He said, one of you, you 12 have I chosen, and one of you is a devil. He knew. He knew what he was. He knew who it was. But he also knew the other 11. So Christ knows. He said, I kept them in your name. All you've given me. Didn't lose any of them. Not a one. Well, he lost Judas. Folks, Judas went to his own place. He didn't lose anybody. Judas was never one of his. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak into the world that they might, or in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So now we know where they stand, don't we? Well, he singled them out. He prayed for them. He sent them out. He kept them. He empowered them. He did everything that he could. He gave them God's word. Everything that they needed to know came from God's word. Everything that they needed to know came from God's word. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Don't take them out of the world, this evil place, he said, but keep them from the evil. And that's what he did. They were able to go about the mission that the Lord gave them to do. Mission of the church as well, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Do that. I'm not praying you take them all out of the world. That'd be a great escape, you know, if the Lord would just take all of His people out of this world. Not any more suffering, not any more heartaches, nothing at all. Just take them out. But what Jesus did, He said, Father, You protect them. The Father's protective hand kept them. But don't you know how all them people died? I sure do, folks. I sure do know how they died. Terrible, isn't it? They went home to be with the Lord. That's not terrible. The way they died is gruesome. Except John. The way they died was gruesome. But they were kept by God until they left this world. And in verse 20, a few more verses, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Not just praying for the apostles. I'm just not praying that you would give me power to glorify you, O Heavenly Father. I'm just not praying to hear myself say words. Jesus said, I'm not just praying for them, but I'm praying for y'all people sitting here today. Jesus said, I'm praying for all of you that shall believe. Does He know every one of them? I believe He did, folks. God's got the stars named, as many as there is. Got a name for every one of them. I pray for all of the people that will ever believe on me through their word. Do you ever wonder where the word come from, folks? Wonder how it came to end up in our hands? Oh, ancient writers penned it down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart, every word. And given to God's people. And Jesus, when He was here, He said, Father, I've given them all the words that You've given me. So Jesus taught it to the disciples. And the disciples were called to go out and do what? preached the very same word that Christ taught them. Still being handed down, isn't it? And now the church has that commission. Teach the word. Preach the word. Use the word. I'm prayed for you people. A couple centuries ago, Jesus said, everyone that will ever believe on me through their word. Whose word? The apostles' word. That came from Christ. That came from God. That come to us. And now we're sort of responsible for this very same word. We're sort of responsible for the prayer part. We're sort of responsible for people seeing us live in Christ Jesus. If you're here today and you have never, ever repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what I said. Only God knows hearts. I don't. I can know I'm saved. Jesus can know I'm saved. So can God. But only God knows the heart. If you have never repented and trusted in Christ, do that today before you leave. I'm sure there will be opportunity. If you need to talk with someone about salvation, how to be saved, just believe what Jesus said. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nothing greater than the words of Christ for salvation. Father, bless the word once again. Thank you again for this privilege to be here. Father, use the word to your glory and honor. It might stir our hearts. Father, that I might be drawn closer to you, that I might be willing to be more used in your service. And Father, that I would seek your face in all things. Forgive me my sin and failures, and save those that are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.